Hallelujah. I got some things to say about all this, but if I do, it's my message. I learned a valuable lesson this morning. Sometimes it is good to share with my wife what scriptures I'm going to use. Thank you for stealing my thunder. I told Jace, I said, she just preached my message, so I'm changing gears. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. You know, it is a good thing for us to come together to worship God. I saw something this morning that basically said, you know, the church is a place we come that we can gather to worship. But our life should always reflect that worship. You know, I don't want to come in here and shout hallelujah, glory to God, praise you, Jesus, and go outside and nobody can tell by my actions, by my the way I live my life, that I'm a Christian. That should never be said of any Christian. That's not saying you're going to be perfect. Anybody that preaches that you need to be perfect is setting themselves up for a fall. I've learned that maturity has nothing to do with being perfect in our sense. No blemishes, no flaws. Anytime the Bible preaches of perfection, it's talking of maturity. I shared last week about listening to different types of music now. When I was a teenager, I loved headbanging music. I still do. Always will. But something has happened in the last several years. I can sit and listen to somebody playing the piano. I've driven to down to Columbus to listen to my nephew play the piano at Von Maur. I got one in my own house now. I love hearing other types, and what's happened was a maturity has come in. I can appreciate the music. I even love classical guitar. A music I would have made fun of years ago. But what has happened was a maturity has come in. When you were younger, you just loved those things that loved you. Well, they love me, so I'll love them. But as love matures, you love the things that don't love you. That's called maturity. And I'm in danger of going down my message, so I don't want to go any further on that. But today, we come together before we actually celebrate what we call the day of Christ's birth. Remembering the things that was spoken. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. That's what we always shout, isn't it? But we forget one part of that. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth and goodwill to men. Folks, if we give glory to God in all things and in our lives, may the glory be seen, we will have peace on earth and goodwill towards men. But as long as we're seeking our own, we will never have that peace. We will never have goodwill towards other men if all we seek is our own. So let's remember this season to give glory to God in all things. And in our lives all year long, may we give glory to God and reflect that, not just in mere words. I read once where God thought written words were foolish. And I believe that. Because it's kind of hard to change what is spoken. But you can change anything it's written. Can't you? Just look at history. We're changing it. Now there's people that believe the Jews weren't ever killed in Auschwitz and places like that. Because they're rewriting. But what is spoken can never be changed. We're going to bless the tithe and offering this morning, and we've got a few things we're going to do. So just bear with us, shall you? Shall we? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. We thank you for your mercy and your kindness. And Lord God, may we never, ever fail to give you the glory. Father, we give you the glory for all the things we've done and accomplished this year. Father, for the things that are to come, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, that the things that that are set up against us to be difficult, we will handle them like champions. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving now in your people. And Father, I thank you for the tithe and the offering, Lord God. I bless it. Father, I pray that your word comes to pass in each and every believer's life, Father. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, may you be true and every man a liar. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated for a moment. We're going to partake of communion this morning. That's where I'm looking for. Some people get religious about communion. But in all honesty, you can take communion every day. Because what communion really is, and I don't have to administer it. That's the great thing. You do not need a priest, you do not need a preacher to administer communion. You partake of it. Jesus said, as often as you do it, as much as you want to, if you want to do it every hour, if that's the way God leaves you. But we partake of communion to remember what he did. I'll talk more later about what it cost. But we do this to remember what he did. Memorial Day, we've set aside to remember the price of our freedom. You're not speaking English just because it happened or by accident. It was a grand design. You do not get to call yourselves Americans. There was a price that had to be paid. We cannot call ourselves Christians without a price having been paid. And that price was Jesus Christ. We celebrate this season as when he would have been born. We all maybe have one or two nativity scenes in our houses. We see the donkey, Mary, the babe, Joseph, and in many cases the wise men. But the shepherds were really the only other ones there. The shepherds. Smelly, lowly shepherds were the first ones invited to the birth of the King of Kings. Think about that. He didn't go catch the doctors and the lawyers, which actually at that time in life might have been thought lower than shepherds. He didn't go to the professionals, the priests. He didn't go to any of them. He went to the shepherds, the guys who were laying out at night. I don't care what night it is, even if it was a more desert. The desert gets cold. They were probably huddled around some little fire, trying to keep warm. And these angels appear in the sky. They say, glory to God in the highest. And they start telling them how blessed they are that they get to be there for the king. Well, you fast forward 33 years. And some of those people that had heard about this would be crying, crucified. And Jesus said, I'm doing this willingly. Don't you let anybody try to condemn you and saying, well, you took Jesus' life with your sin. No, you didn't. He did it willingly. He was asked by God the Father, and he said, yes, sir. And he did it. And today we celebrate that. We celebrate the freedom from death and sin. And we rejoice in the freedom that he's given us, the liberties to never be attached again to those sins It's not saying you just got free from everything right on the onslaught, but that you don't have to go back to them. You don't have to go back to the law that says you messed up, now you have to sacrifice a lamb because there was one lamb. And that's what we celebrate with the blood. His body was broken at first. He was beaten. He was bruised for our iniquities. Folks, he was bruised for all those things that you think and feel inside. How you feel towards other people. The thoughts that you have towards somebody who rubs you the wrong way. Those are iniquities. He was deeply wounded for those. And his blood was poured out for the ratification of a new covenant. There can never be freedom without blood spilled, ever. And so his blood was poured out. If we remember that today, when we take of this communion, so many messages have been taught over the years about people falling asleep, dying too soon because they partake unworthily. I think the wrong message has been taken out of that in many instances. Rather, they didn't know what Jesus really did. They didn't understand what he really did. And until you've sacrificed, you don't know. And there's things that's hard for me to understand. God, why? Why would you? How? How could you? Bring forth that. It was just for us. It was for you. That's how. You don't conquer anything without this. Well, Pastor, I believe that if I have any sin, yeah, you need to get, if you got any ought, the Bible tells us, if you have ought against your brother, leave your offering at the altar. Do you know what many people do today? They take it and they leave and they never deal with the problem. But the problem is the offering they were bringing was their key to getting through. But he said, take it, leave it at the altar and go and square it away. Many things we can't go back and fix. Many things it's too late to deal with. We need to learn to forgive. It's a hard thing to do. I know, I preach it a lot. And as soon as I walk out of here, I get an opportunity or two to walk in that forgiveness. I tell you, never pray for patience. Never pray for opportunities to forgive, because they abound. Jesus warned us. He said, it's impossible for no offenses to come. I might offend you before you leave here. I don't know. There's usually one or two people. But I can promise you this, the very act of what we're about to partake of helps us to overcome. I don't want you to die a spiritual death. I don't want you to walk in suffering anymore. By his stripes you were healed. Isaiah 53:5. Folks, that is not just physically. Our bodies, God designed these things awesome. If you've never thought about it, this is an awesome body. It begins to heal itself. You break a bone, and you need to understand how hard that is to break your bones. And trust me, it hurts. But within a week, the healing has begun. And after several weeks, it's almost complete. Your body, God created this thing to rebuild itself. that's awesome. But let me tell you some of the other things he was talking about, the wounds. There's a reason he said you were bruised for the iniquities, the bruising that we've received. Stupid things people have said out of sheer arrogance, or whether they just were hurt themselves. 9 times out of 10, hurting people hurt people. If we will let God heal us deeply, emotionally. And I'm going to tell you right now, don't sit there and think, well, I'm not worthy of communion. You're the reason we have it. People that tell you you're not worthy aren't worthy themselves because they don't understand it. It's not for perfect people. If it was for perfect people, he wouldn't have said, keep doing it. But do this to remember. We have veterans in here. We understand what it means to be free. But I can promise you, none of us were perfect in our service. I'll just throw my hand up right now. I know I wasn't. And I'm not perfect in my patriotism. I do not have the American flag hanging from my house right now. Does that mean that I'm not worthy to call myself an American or a vet? Not one bit. So just because you're imperfect does not mean that you're not worthy to partake of communion. I want you to remember that when you take of these elements, these sacred elements, that you remember that Jesus said, this bread is my body and it is broken for you. He said, and then this cup represents my blood. It is the wine of a new covenant I make with you. Folks, that's what you partake of every time. To be spiritually dead is worse than to be physically dead. So let's stand. We'll start over here. If you'll come up and walk around, and then at that point, you head it out. I always forget how to do this. I've got it written down in my office, but if you've seen my desk, go ahead, Pat. Yeah.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. Bye.
Little did those shepherds know that what a holy night it was. That 2,000 years later, we would be singing about that night. Just amazing. If you read on down through there, it says they went around telling people in Bethlehem what they saw. They told Mary what they had saw. And she just sat there and marveled. She pondered it. How do you explain to people you saw beings in the sky telling you this wonderful news? Something else to think about, isn't it? That night, though, that Jesus was to be betrayed, he handed the bread, broke it, and handed it to his disciples. He said, "This is my body, broken for you. Let's partake." Lord God, we thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that it was broken for us, that it was bruised for us. Lord, we thank you now that we are the body of Christ, the resurrected, powerful, mighty body of Christ that represents all that he was and is. And then he handed him the wine and he said, "This is my blood that is poured out for a new covenant. Let's partake." Lord God, we thank you for the blood of Christ. Father, for the new covenant that it ratified, that it changed forever, to empower us to live a holy and righteous life. Lord, I pray now that you help every believer understand who they are in Christ, who they represent now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated for a few minutes. We have a few more things to do. Last week, you all shared with us, and this week we get to share with you, particularly directors and things of that nature, just because, well, it just gets a little crazy sometimes. I was just informed we have more Christmas wrapping to do. I don't know about y'all men, I thank God for gift bags. I'm like, why? So, yes, your gifts are in bags. I saw some memes this week that showed gift wrapping in brown paper bags and newspapers. That would have been me. I'm like, I don't care what it's wrapped in, what's in it. That's what's important. These are all directors, are they?
Correct.
Okay. So as I call your name, I'm going to have you come up. I'm going to give you a card, and if you will stand to my right. Maggie Broadwater. Maggie Broadwater is now the director of the library and has been for a little while now. Thank you, Maggie. Cheryl Haycock. She kind of inherited, kind of got thrown into a situation of being the head of Super Kids, and she is doing a wonderful job. And I will just hand you that. Thank you. Michelle Scott. She stepped up and became our Kids at His Feet nursery director and doing a bang-up job of it as well. Thank you. Clint Cooper. Clint and Brooke I think they were pretty early on. Were you even married when you started talking about youth ministry? Right after. Okay, well, they are our youth leaders. And, you know, we don't have a whole lot in this age group, but boy, when they do stuff, they do stuff. Thank you, Clint. And it makes a change in a lot of people. Well, Brooke, I should have had you come up too. I didn't. She doesn't tell me she's put separate. I just talked all about all that. Thank you, Brooke.
It takes a team, though.
Yes. And Miss Brenda Grosch. Brenda is the director of the greeters and also our personal assistant. Thank you. She's one also, y'all, if you ever been in my office, you see all them little marine things I collect. She's the one that goes in and cleans them off for me. She dusts my toys, my motorcycles, my tanks. Miss Vicki Hart, she is the OCC director and newsletter director, editor, director, print staff. Yeah, all of the above. Thank you, Miss Vicki. Here you go. Phil Haycock, come on down. I think you forgot something on his. Ushers.
Oh,
okay. He is the director of the ushers and also a board member. Thank you, sir. Miss Katie Peters. For those of you that don't know, we have a website. So if you're tech savvy, you can go to our website. Katie makes sure that things stay functioning and puts the new messages on there. Thank you, Miss Katie. And anything else that has to be done in there, because I don't know squat about it. Kayla Peters. For our new members, you will meet Kayla Peters. She will be taking your picture and taking all that and putting it into our directory. Thank you, ma'am. Bob Morrison. And Mrs. Bob Morrison. I learned. Come on down. Bob and Karen have been longtime members. They were here first meeting with Miss Vicki, and they are our board members and also my in-laws. Well, so come on. So if there's any, you know, most of you know who they are, your part, because one of the messages we preach here is it's about serving. It's not about being served. It's about serving. Nowhere in the Bible where you find out where it says just come and be served. This isn't the British sitcom, Are You Being Served? This is the body of Christ who was supposed to serve. On the night that Jesus took that final supper, he did something to show them what it's supposed to be. He, the Messiah, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, took off his robe, put on a servant's wash towel, and he sat down and washed 12 men's dirty, stinky, fungus-infested feet. There, I built a picture for you, didn't I? I like doing that. He said, if you want to be great, you got to be a servant. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want you to be middle of the road. I want you to be great. And here are the people that helped lead you there. Thank you, guys. All right. I guess you can return to your stations. That's it? All right. Is that all I got? All right. Super kids are dismissed at this time. Miss Michelle. Michelle had something. Oh, hang on. Once. Grayson. You got something to do, buddy? Oh, you going to sing? Good job. Now, if you think that for 1 minute that is easy, you get up here. All right. Super kids are dismissed. He loves bringing the offering up, but I want you to notice he doesn't stay around up here any longer than he has to. He's like, all right, Dad, I'll do it. I love it. And then he gets back here and Grandpa's like, hey, you forgot mine. Got to make another round. Well, praise God. Well, like I said, Angela kind of infringed upon my message this morning. Not really, because as I was thinking about it, God started putting a new one in me. We were singing that song, folks, Here I Am to Worship. It's a beautiful song. Our whole lives should be to worship God. But there's a part that says, I'll never know what it cost. You know, we're celebrating the birth of a baby. Tony, would you bring Carter up here? See if you can get through it with a dry eye. Right here's what it cost. This is what it cost God. You're taking back. Grandpa's got to get himself. I'm his grandpa. Now, I'm his daddy's dad. But folks, you know, with each kid you have, you wonder, how can I love? How can I love two? How can I love three? And those of you that had more power, God bless you. How do you love each one even more? And, you know, we just figured God will fill it. That's what we were told. God will give you the love. And then we found out we're going to be grandparents. Oh, yeah. Proud day. Loved it. Maybe a little retribution. For 18 years. But I can tell you, somebody said something the other day about trying to explain what it's like to be a grandparent. And I could have never understood. You just got to be one. And I told Angela, I said, it's kind of like riding a motorcycle. People say, why? If I have to explain to you why, you will never understand until you do it. And I thought, was thinking last night, you know, he and I were playing, people were unwrapping gifts, and he and I were just back there playing. He's attacking me, chewing on my cheekbone and drooling all over my eye and my nose. And I remember thinking, how can I love him anymore? I don't love him less than my own son. But the love that I feel for him, and there's going to be more down the road. How can I love each one of them even more? I can't say that my love for him is greater than it was for his father. But I find that there's a new level of love, maybe, or renewed love. And I have to ask, God, what did it cost? Part of me asks, God, why didn't we just wipe Satan out in the beginning? I'll never understand all the mysteries, and anybody that claims to, run. But let me tell you, folks, what God saw, what God did, don't think for 1 minute that it didn't hurt. I know what my boys have to go through. I know what they're going to go through in life. and I can't protect them from it. But I can trust that I prepared them to be men about it, to head it straight on, to recognize it and attack it. And each generation down the line, what God did was he took a part of himself and he created Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua, the Savior for all of mankind. A part of him is what he sent. He didn't just send some stranger's son into battle. He sent his own. A part of him. Knowing what mankind was going to do to him. But the reason he did it, the reason he was able to do it, was simply because for each and every one of them, his love was renewed. His love grew. And that's the reason why we have to love. It's not an option. I was watching a really good message by Keith Moore this morning on love. And he was talking about how he's changed his vernacular. He used to say, oh man, I love that car. I love this. I love that. He changed his vernacular because he said, we ruin the word. We cheapen the word by saying, I love the Browns. I love the Buckeyes. And yet you love your wife, you love God with the same love. All it takes is for them to lose and you're yelling at them. Come on. You're yelling at the coach, calling him a moron, that you could do better. I know I do. I don't know about you. But he said, there's only two things we're to love. There's only two things the Bible commands us to love. It's not our dog, folks. I'm sorry. Not your dog. I don't care how good of a dog he is. Love God and no one before him. No thing before him, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the only two things we are commanded to love. See, I would give my life for my children. Without a doubt. If somebody was going doing good and preaching the word, I might consider it. But what about the guy who just stole my tools out of my shop? Would I lay my life down for him? Bible says probably not. Because for barely a good man, a righteous man, would we do it. Am I going to lead? Am I going to want to lay my life down for the kid who, out of drunken stupidity, wrecked the car and killed my son? Am I? I'll be honest with you, right then you're not going to feel like it. I am amazed at some of these people who can go, and they can go to prison and minister to the person who murdered their loved one, their child. Because they didn't let hate. I taught you several years ago, you need to knock hate completely out of your vocabulary. You don't need to hate anything. Well, I hate broccoli. Well, see, you start off with broccoli. Problem is, next thing you know, you'll be hating this. You'll be hating that. Then you're going to start hating a group. Then you're going to start hating the people. And you were not ever built to contain hate. Ever. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to hate anything. We're to push away from sin, detest sin, yes. But to hate is the total absence of love. That's not what this season is about. There is no peace, no goodwill toward men if we hate. Y'all have been here on Sunday mornings when I've prayed that Osama bin Laden would find Christ. As a Marine, I wanted him dead. As a Christian, knowing that eternity away from God is forever and awful, I wanted him to find Christ. That's when love starts coming in. That's when love starts to mature. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. Hate is bound in fear. That's why people hate. Well, I hate the Jews. That was Hitler's deal, right? He feared them. By the way, growing up, one of his best friends was a Jew. A man who gave him his coat during the winter when he was homeless. Because Hitler thought that the Jews were the reason he grew up poor. Not the stupid decisions of his parents or the economy. That. Yes, Lord? Just FYI, I saw Ohio Edison's truck in the neighborhood this morning, so they have something apparently to work on. But folks, on or off, please. I can preach in the dark. I think I've done it a couple times. But we are not supposed to hate. We're called to love. And with, as I said, with each person that came on the planet, God's love grew. That's why it broke his heart when men turned on each other. Jealousies. Am I really my brother's keeper? Absolutely, positively, yes, you are. We need to wipe self-seeking out. And we need to start living that life. Like I say, folks, we look at the little nativity scene. We see the little baby Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. But we forget 33 years later. The woman that was sitting next to that manger watched it all. I couldn't do that. And I'll be honest with you, they believed that Joseph, Mary's husband, was much older and he probably passed away by that time. Folks, I can tell you right now, Joseph didn't love that boy any less than his own natural children. And if Joseph had been alive, he would have fought. Because it's what fathers do. They fight for their children. They don't fight their children. They fight for them. You don't understand love if you're fighting against somebody that you say you love. I can run around and tell you, well, you know, so here's my problem with having organized religion in charge of government. Organized religion will eventually preach, you only love those who are like us. Right? That's why the Catholics killed the Protestants, the Protestants killed the Catholics. And that's why the Catholics went after the Muslims and the Jews. If you think I'm wrong, you might want to go back and check history. Our history teacher's not here this morning, but he would back it. Folks, I don't want anybody telling me that I have to hate somebody. I don't hate liberals. I don't hate Democrats. I don't hate progressives. I don't hate Republicans. I think politicians are all the same. Politics. Many bloodsuckers. You get two terms and you're all gone. Let's keep it simple. No lifetime benefits. We'll see. We'll put people in there who want to do the best. Just saying. That's all. I'm going to talk about politics. If we can't look at people and have compassion, do you not think that Jesus was walking around? The Bible says he was moved with compassion on these people. Well, it's their own stupid fault. Well, yeah, anybody walking around with something that's your own fault? I got a few scars to prove it. We all do. We're all deserving of the punishments we've received. But Jesus came to take the brunt. Well, it's not saying that you're going to get away scot-free with everything. Everybody looks at, well, you just get to wipe the slate clean and start all over. Well, there's some things you pay for. No, you think you ran that red light, but that camera on the pole says you're getting a ticket in a week. You're going to argue, but the camera, they're going to send you the picture with it. And more than likely, you're waving at the camera. Because you knew you were guilty. We all claim innocence knowing doggone well we're guilty. Instead of falling humbly for mercy. And then we unfortunately are like the unforgiving servant. Once we've obtained mercy, we go and we preach strict adherence to other people. And listen, folks, I can't obey the speed limit. Do you think I'm going to obey your religious laws? I'm sorry. Every last one of us in here is guilty, whether you meant to or not. Think about that. That's what the Bible tells us. You're guilty of the entire law if you break one. Well, I've kept all these. I'm like the young man who came to Jesus and said, Lord, I've done this, this, and this. And he said, yeah, but you need to do this. He only listed the laws he could keep. Did you notice that? He didn't list all of them. Because if you go back and read the law, there's a lot more to the law. Because sin requires that we have definitions. I mean, if you're a lawyer, I love you. But when lawyers get involved in paperwork, they have to have definitions to describe who the word is about. And it's like, yeah, all you had to do was put their name. And then instead of going into these Latin terms and these other terms, put it in English. I'm an American. I don't speak Latin. I don't speak Spanish, German, Jewish. Put it in my language so that I understand it. Ladies and gentlemen, we will have peace on earth and goodwill toward men only when we learn to love. When we learn to love the unlovable. You've heard me say this before. The way you love someone the least is the way you love God the most. Think about it for a moment. I've got people in here who have told me with their own mouth that they hated other people. They literally hated them. You know when the change came in their lives? When they quit hating. You have to learn to love. It's easy to hate, isn't it? I could start a division here right now and you would hate somebody else. That's why I address this issue. I'm just going to throw it this easy way. We've got Cleveland Steelers fans. There you go. We've got Pittsburgh Steelers fans in here, right? We've got several of you. We've got Cleveland Brown fans, which you're riding high right now, first time in 30-some years. I'm not going to pull any punches. I don't care for either one of them. They don't play for what they used to play for. I got a $100 million contract. You're going to do what I say. Like heck I am. But Pastor Bob Montgomery in Michigan, he can't even mention, he's an Ohio State fan. He cannot even mention the game because he has a couple people in his church that cannot get past it. I mean, it's been, 7 years? He can't mention it. Listen, if that kind of division is where our love level is, get over it. I don't care if you're Chevy or Ford or Dodge. Be honest with you, I drive a Chevy and I'm not happy with them right now. I'm not going to lie. I just can't bring myself to drive a Dodge yet. Clint, that was for you, man. Honestly, I've been looking at the Dodges. But you know what? What matters? I get from point A to point B. That's all that matters. If I got to do it in a Yugo or a Chevette, so be it. I got from point A to point B and didn't have to walk. None of the stuff that we create divisions and wars matter. Well, I'm Irish. Oh, get over it. You didn't start off in Ireland. By the way, so are some of my ancestors. Scottish. Then we found out the Scottish came from the Vikings. And somewhere along the line, we got to figure out where this North African connection is. Don't know. I always think you've always, everybody's got a little in their woodpile. You're going to find Africa in your woodpile somewhere. I figure it's because Vikings took slaves. And in all honesty, do you know what, folks? If we would understand that God never meant for us to be so diluted in our gene pools that you can tell just by looking at somebody where they came from. I can pick out people of Slavic nations, which is Russia, Ukraine, those nations. I spent enough time overseas that I can get a pretty good guess on whether you're Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Filipino, or even Vietnamese. These guys that spend time in Vietnam, they can tell you. They were with the people, but after a while, traits show up. Do you know what God meant for us to do? Intermingle. We have all the problems we have because technically we're inbred. Because we decided I'm only going to love people who look like me. Well, you know, if you wanted to breed out the weakness, you need to get out of your county for gene pool. Just saying. Do you know the Amish have even figured this out finally? They have to go away and start bringing people from other clans. Fortunately for me, even though Angela and I are the same county, I'm from West Virginia. And I can't say a whole lot more about the gene pool there either. Except that mine has branched off now. But that's because we start, well, I don't like them. They look funny. Have you looked in the mirror lately? My brother-in-law and I were talking last night. And I told him, I said, you know, I said, I came across a picture the other day of about almost 20-some years ago. And he said, yeah, he said, I'm probably about half of my size. And I said, yeah, we were both a lot slimmer. And I said, we both had a lot more hair. We are not the same things we were back in 1994. We've changed. For starters, I didn't have any kids. He still had small kids. Your wife was a little, you were little. Clint, it was Brooke's dad. Now he's a grandfather several times. I'm a grandfather. Everything has changed. And you know what? Honestly, we've looked back and realized some of the stupid things that we thought were important really weren't so important. I can only love these people. You know, if you fall in love with a black person, so what? An Asian, so what? If that's who you love? I will tell you, there's only one way that God talked about that, and that was male and female. I will not back down from that fight. There's a reason for it. Two males cannot reproduce life. Two females cannot reproduce life. And by the way, you are not complete. It's not saying that well, this was the only person in the world that can complete me. No. If something had happened and I died before Angela and I got together, God had somebody else for her. But, as the saying goes, you complete me. You are my other half. She's my sensible half. She's the half that talks me down from doing stupid things sometimes. You know, men, am I the only man in here who gets his drawers in a knot and goes off half-cocked? Okay, I'm glad to start seeing wives pointing their fingers. Jerry's pointing at his wife. See, folks, we have, God put us male and female for a reason. Because you know what? We've talked about this before. There's a relationship that men can have that is not homosexual at all in nature. David talked about it. He said, Jonathan's love was greater than any woman. People say, well, that proves he was gay. No, he wasn't. You need to understand, Jonathan and David shed blood. When you have that kind of relationship with somebody that you would die for them, things change drastically. Even though I haven't seen my brothers in a little while, you know, if you want to hurt them and I'm in the area, you're going to have a hard time hurting them. They're my brothers. You want to hurt somebody in this church and I'm in the area, you're going to have a hard time hurting them. Like I said, I mean, I don't have to actually win the fight. I just got to keep you from accomplishing your goal. That's all there is to it. I realize I'm outclassed a little bit and I got to do a little more dancing, a little more talking. Thank God my mouth still works. Because I can talk myself out of getting a good butt kicking from time to time. But listen, folks. This season, you want peace, you want joy, you want happiness, you had better start loving. You had better love unconditionally. Don't say, well, I love them, but they don't love me. That's not true love. That's not real love. That is a part of the marriage ceremony that I do. Love does not say, I love you, but do you really love me, and vice versa. That's not real love, is it? If I didn't love Angela, I would have never asked her to marry me. She'd have never said yes. But we loved each other. Long before a physical relationship, FYI. That has nothing to do with love. That's called hormones. We won't go down that road today. Future. Because there is such an attack on it. That's why we're seeing the push towards homosexuality, open relationships. It's not godly. That's all there is to it. That's why marriages are being attacked. Everybody says, well, the divorce rate in the world is 50%. No, that's the church. Just FYI. They've actually said that this new generation, right now, the millennials, their marriage rate is better than mine. Better than baby boomers. They're getting hold of something. You know what's starting to change? One, we're talking. Husband and wives talk now. We're learning what love is. The church needs to know what love is in order to help it grow in our families. For years, we never knew what love was. I don't think so many pastors and preachers got out and started preaching messages. They had no idea how to walk. That's why I think if you listen to a Catholic priest on marriage advice, you're a fool. Right, guys? Women? How is somebody who's never going to experience what you're experiencing have any clue? Well, I take it from the Bible. Well, I can promise you, my wife throwing my clothes out in the yard last night had nothing. She didn't do that. I thought I might interject that. How does he have any clue what I'm going through? Because it's not in the Bible. Come on. God didn't give us the word so we'd be stupid. But we have to learn to love. We learn to grow. We mature. The best relationships are the ones that mature, not stagnate. Well, it's not going to say you don't get comfortable. I like being comfortable with my wife. I forget who I was talking to the other day, but they said something. You know, if something were to happen to my wife, I honestly don't know that I want to go through relearning a new wife. He says, I know what I can expect. There's nothing wrong with that. You know what mood she's going to be in. You know where you left your boots or your shoes and whether you're going to hear about it. Right? Whether you left your skivvies on the floor again. Men, feel free to bend over and pick them up. She ain't your mama. And if you can't cook, take her out from time to time. That's how I cook sometimes. I say, I'm cooking. She's like, where are we going? Now, I will tell you this. I cooked her dinner Friday night. I cleaned up the kitchen, fixed the countertop. Apparently, I forgot to put some screws in and it curled. I have wood countertop, so it... And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to fix dinner tonight. I've got these salmon steaks out there in the freezer, and I went and got them, thawing them out slowly. Boy, I got them rubbed down good and put them in the oven. I had some glazed carrots and some steamed broccoli. And, yeah, it's getting dinner time. Yeah, you know it's about to end because I'm starting to talk about food, right? And I got it all, and I pulled that salmon. And I mean, when I started putting it in there, I usually do it on the grill, but seeing how it was raining, I'm not standing in the rain just to cook, okay? I thought, no, I'll just put it on broiler. And I'm like, man, I do not like cooking in the house. Woo, doggy, I had the smoke detector going off upstairs. Like, man, this thing's smelling funky. I got that out, and oh, it was beautiful. Two big old beautiful slabs. I was like, man, that looks like I know what I'm doing. And I thought, I was just about to say, boy, baby, look at these. I'd made up my own ginger glaze and had it on them. She came and said, oh, those are beautiful. And I said, I know. And I had special plates ready. It was just going to be her and I. And something inside me said, check it. I peeled it open, pulled a piece out, put it in my mouth, and immediately spit it back out. They were bad. Yeah. You know, when your freezer is sitting in the garage, you know, they have a tendency to actually warm up when it's cold outside. And so things kind of changed in the temperature range of my freezer. So thank God that's not got all the food in it. But boy, did it ruin my... I was like, man, I wanted that salmon. I had to settle for pork chops, which were good. But it wasn't the salmon that I had spent time salivating over. And thank God she was there. Because all I had was broccoli and glazed carrots. Well, I didn't have the pork chops yet. She's the one that buys the food, so I didn't know what was in the fridge. I bought the salmon. I knew where it was at. My point being, folks, you got to love. And ladies, if your husband does something like that for you, don't get bent out of shape that it didn't pan out. Appreciate the fact he did something. In a day and an age where men don't talk to their wives or their children, they run off and do whatever they want and never talk to you. I'm trying to help everybody. Husbands, appreciate your wives. God gave her as a help, not your foot mat, not to pick up your dirty underwear. I've told Angela, I said, well, if you don't want to pick it up, leave it. I'll pick it up. And she has. Yeah, it might take a couple days once I remember where I left my socks. I'm all the time getting on her about, well, if you just get in the habit of putting stuff away right, you know what? I'm the one that takes off my house shoes somewhere else. Where did I take my house shoes off at? So I spend all day running around the house looking, track, where did I go? Where was I at? And your cell phones. I got this stupid little shelf I like to set it on in my closet. It's black. I put it face down. And if I've come from church, sometimes it's on silence. So it can't ring. And my clothes just clear the shelf. I'm like, Lord, where did I leave my phone? And she loves me through it. She doesn't throw it back in my face. Remember what you told me yesterday when I lost mine? By the way, guys, if you're going to do stuff like that, God's going to make sure you get the opportunity to walk your perfection. Oh, yeah, ladies, it goes the same way. I'm just picking on the guys because that's my job. It's my job to pick on the guys, make you men. Yeah, well, that's true. We don't need any help. All right. So what are you going to do this year, folks? You're going to love. You're going to love unconditionally. You're not going to base your love on whether somebody loves you back or how they've treated you or maybe what they've done or in your head what you think they've done to you. Maybe they have no stinking clue what they did. Do you realize that? We get all bent out of shape over somebody driving down the road. We yell at them and all kinds of things. Honk the horn. Maybe tell them they're number one. And they have no idea why we're so mad. They don't know what they did. They didn't realize it. And I usually get to walk that side after I've yelled at somebody the day before. Lord, I'm sorry. I need to have patience. I got to tell Joshua yesterday, he was talking about an experience he had. And I said, yep. And I said, that's why when I'm going across there, I just set the cruise. If you want to pass me, pass me. This is the speed I'm going. Now, Richard will tell you, because I've passed him, if I'm going a little faster than you are, I will pass you. That's all there is to it. Because he asked me, he said, was that you the other day? I said, yeah, that was me. Don't get bent out of shape if it's you I happen to pass. It's nothing personal. My car says I'm going this speed that I want to run. You're not running it. I'm going to pass you. It's nothing personal. Or maybe I think I'm Mario Andretti that day. I don't know. I ain't going to lie. Sometimes I get the right song going. All right, let's stand. If you remember what this season is about, folks, you will not. Let me rephrase it. If you remember what this season is about year round, you will have to repent a lot less next year. A lot less. Because love does no harm. Just remember that for the coming year. Oh, yeah, you got to, I believe 1 Corinthians 13 says, love keeps no track of wrongs done. It doesn't keep track. I love the story of the prodigal son. The father, he had to have known what the boy did, right? Come on, dads. 9 times out of 10, you know what your boy did. Why? Because you were a boy. The father had to have known. But he never brought it up to his son. The accusatory religious type did. He brought up his past. And all the boy wanted to do was be a servant. That's all he wanted. So, just remember that. You want to be a good father? Well, I don't know how. Listen, as fathers, I will attest, we all mess up. We all fall short. But we have one example we can look to, and that's God the Father. You want to be a good father? Start learning about the Father who's responsible for this. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so honored to call you Father, that you see us as your children whom you love and you desire to be with. Lord, I pray now that you help us all, starting today, to love unconditionally, to keep no track of the wrong, and to forgive quickly. Father, I pray for myself in particular in this. Help me. Help me to grow mature in my love towards all people. Lord, I pray that, as James put it, if we draw close to you, you will draw closer to us. Father, that is the heart of a father. It's for his sons and his children to desire to be with him. And then he will draw close and he will protect them. Lord, I thank you that you are not a domineering father, but a loving, a kind, a patient father. That I know in my own personal life, you've been patient and loving through all my shortcomings. Father, we thank you for the season of love that we celebrate. Help us to walk in this love all the time. And Father, I thank you for all these people here today. Lord, I know many start their celebrations and their family get-togethers, or already have. Father, I pray that as they're with them, Lord, that your love would ooze out of them, Father, and that people would see you in them. And because of that, these people will rejoice for the goodness that they have seen. And that, Father, if they do not know Christ, that many will come to know because of that goodness, because of the change that they've seen. Bless them now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.